The big cheese, I mean, where do you go with that? It's interesting, if you were here on Friday night at the end of our prayer and fasting, there was a big long table set up in the middle of the room, beautifully prepared by Juno and Michael. But on this end of the table, there was dairy-free cheese. I know, is it even cheese? I don't know, but it stunk. I mean, if you were this side of the room, praising Jesus was very hard because my nostrils were offended on many levels. The big cheese had to exit that space because it was so bad. We also learned something else in our week of prayer and fasting. It was funny that you highlighted Beryl. Beryl and Peter joined on Thursday night as part of the prayer walk around the streets. But they were so fast that they're now no longer the Quigleys, but the Quicklies, because they were like lapping people as they were praying around the streets. Now, I don't know if you had like a dinner on or something, Beryl, do you know what I mean? You had to get round, but the Quigleys are now the Quicklies, and credit goes to Ashley Beattie for that nickname, because she'll be watching from Canada, and if I don't mention her, she'll be pretty annoyed with me. And I will actually mention Ash later on as well this morning. It's brilliant to be with you here at East as we begin this series for the next 3 months, looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at them in our Sunday gatherings across all of our sites. We'll also be looking at them in our connect groups. And I encourage us in our own personal time to go deep with the Lord and to ask Him and to eagerly pursue the spiritual gifts as His Word invites us and actually tells us to do. I want to begin just with a few foundational principles that hopefully will set us up, that will track all the way through for the rest of this series. And the first one is that Jesus was Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-empowered. Jesus was Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-empowered. The Holy Spirit fell and filled Jesus, came to Him and worked through Him. And that aspect of working through and to is fundamental for what we need to understand as a church as we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come through us, to us, through us, to others. And that aspect of being a people who are filled and the Spirit moves through and to, just like Jesus. Now, am I saying that we are the same as Jesus? Are we fully God and fully human? No. But what I am saying is that in His humanity, He was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit flowed through Him and to others. And so in that sense, we imitate Him and are like Him. There's an aspect of Jesus that we can never be, and that is His full divinity. But in His humanity, He models for us what it means and looks like to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered, and that we can imitate and be like. Jesus Himself promises, remember, and endorses the Spirit in John 16, and He refers to the Spirit as allos parakletos in the Greek, which means another one will come who's just like me. Jesus has told the disciples that I am going to go, but another one will come just like me, one of the same substance of me. The Greek is so strong. One just like me will come. And it's better, listen, this is Jesus' words, it's better for you that I go so that the Spirit may come. So the Jesus that we follow and love and worship and have sung to this morning encourages us with these words that it's a really good thing that the Spirit will come and fill you and be with you, the comforter, the helper, the guide, the power of God and the breath of God will be in you and through you. And so we then, as the church, as the body of Christ, continue to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and Spirit-empowered people. And it will be no surprise to many of you who've been around CFC for any length of time, we are a charismatic church and we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are fully given, fully operational in all areas of our church life today. It was amazing actually listening. We've recorded a 3-part podcast series on the history of CFC. So yes, it's 40 years ago this September since CFC first met as a church in Avonlea Leisure Centre. But the story starts way before then. And we've dug deep into the archives of people's memories to recall all that. But the Holy Spirit has been all over this from the very beginning. And that's no surprise either to us because the Holy Spirit is all over everything from the very beginning. And so too then we see this modeled for us on the day of Pentecost also when the promised Spirit comes and equips and powers and fills the followers of Jesus. And I want to say this, with the same Spirit that descended upon Jesus in bodily form at his baptism. That same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus also fills you and I today. This is not a different Holy Spirit, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit that hovered over Jesus and descended upon him like a dove at his baptism, the same Spirit that hovered over creation in the beginning, that same Holy Spirit is the one that rests and resides and fills us as followers of Jesus today. Do you believe it? Do we believe it? Have we forgotten about it? And maybe even now we need the Holy Spirit to come. But the Holy Spirit's already here. The Holy Spirit's already in you. But maybe this morning's about the realization of that again and allowing the Spirit, opening up the doors of your life again and saying, move, Spirit. John Wimber often famously said, you know, charismatics are great about talking about the Spirit. We just get the labels of things wrong sometimes and it's not very helpful. When I say the Spirit, Holy Spirit, come, the Holy Spirit is here. If you're a follower of Jesus this morning, the Holy Spirit is in you. And particularly in the area of peace this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do a work right now. The Holy Spirit is a Spirit of peace, a Spirit of shalom. As we learned about this, that amazing word over the summer series, a Spirit of shalom, a Spirit of wholeness. Where is the brokenness in our hearts this morning, the hurt in our hearts this morning that we need the Spirit's balm and calm and shalom to move? So even now, would you just, if this is you, you need the Spirit to move into the depths of your soul, troubled soul, why so laden down? And you need the Spirit to move. Even now, just hold out your hands and say, Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, bring shalom. Holy Spirit, speak to troubled souls, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, blow. Holy Spirit, flow. Holy Spirit, move. See, the Spirit, the same Spirit that descended upon Christ, remained on him, stayed with him, led him, empowered him, is the same Spirit. Don't forget it. Set the Spirit aside. Come, Holy Spirit. Wee question. Who am I going to pick to answer? Gary Ray, sorry, there you are. I know, but you're sitting by your own. I feel a bit worried for you. The Holy Spirit's with you too, a comforter. Beside you, right? So say Gary, for example, so online, this is Gary Ray sitting in the front row here, very handsome chap. Gary, if I was to phone you and Jill and say, invite you to my home, right? Please get this right. What would the question you would ask me be? Not about time or date or anything like that, right? I've told you the time and date, but I've asked you, what's your next question? What I bring? Oh, brilliant. And I didn't preempt, all right? Give him a round of applause. What can I bring? What can I bring? Isn't that so often what we do? When we go to visit other people's houses, don't we bring something? Don't we? See the people who've nodded? You're the people who are going to get invited to my house. The people who just sat there are like, really? Do you bring? I mean, is that a thing? Husbands and wives are like, you know, is that a thing? Do you bring? Of course you do. You bring a gift, don't you? And you and I, as temples of the Holy Spirit, as houses where the Spirit dwells, Would the Holy Spirit not come as he dwells and comes to live within us? Would he not also bring gifts? And wow, does he not also bring gifts as he comes to dwell and fill and live and abide? Does he not bring gifts? He brings gifts. Every follower of Jesus in this room, you have gifts that the Holy Spirit has brought to you as he lives in your life. You don't get to rule yourself out. You don't get to say, yep, I have the Holy Spirit, but I don't have any gifts. No, that's not what happens. The Holy Spirit's a really well-mannered guest and brings gifts when he comes to stay and live in your house. No one has all, but all have some. No one has all of the gifts, all of the time, but all have some. I wonder, are you sitting here this morning as someone who has ruled out the gifts of the Spirit in their life? These gifts of the Spirit that we're going to start to look at this morning, and I'll go through which ones we're going to look at just in a moment, are varied in their scope, but they're united in their purpose. So the gifts of the Spirit are varied in their scope, but they are united in their purpose to build and to edify, to strengthen and to grow the church, God's kingdom here on earth. So they are varied in their scope. They look very, very different, and we'll discover that over these next number of months. Varied in their scope, but united in their purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we'll read from now, expresses this statement about the gifts of the Spirit, that he does not want people to be uninformed. Paul writes, he doesn't want people to be ignorant about the gifts. He writes this, I do not want you to be ignorant about these gifts. The word in the Greek is pronounced agnoio. It sounds a bit like, I know you. The gifts of the Spirit, I know. Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll not be able to say, I know, at the end of these 3 months, because you'll know exactly what they are. Right? So Paul doesn't want you to be, I know. That's the official Greek pronunciation, by the way. Gary Burnett. Gary Burnett's bright. Is Gary here this morning? He might be at 11:30. Gary's actually been around CFC for such a long time. We were looking back at old photos of CFC back in the olden days. And Gary's there, big mullet and, you know, tight. Do you know who's really, really looks amazing back in those days? Martin McVitie. For those of you who know Martin McVitie, unbelievable. He's like a muscle man with a big mullet too. Anyway, that's completely irrelevant. Getting carried away, Gary Burnett's also an expert in Greek, and Gary taught us site pastors last year in doing a Greek course, and I was, yes, you guessed it, bottom of the class every single week. Who was top of the class? Yes. So, Paul doesn't want Jesus followers to be inouio, like, I don't know you. But actually, there's part of that Greek word which means willfully ignorant. Willfully ignorant. And I have to be honest, I experienced a lot of willful ignorance in my upbringing in the church. Choosing just not to engage with the scriptures that we're going to engage with over the next 3 months. There are many reasons for that. And some of them actually may be quite understandable reasons because of how perhaps the gifts of the Spirit have been manipulated and abused throughout the history of the church. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be willfully ignorant. We also want to handle and steward and pursue truth as we see these gifts worked out in our church family. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Each one, every single one. And so what I am going to read this morning now is for us. It is for you and it is for I as we sit in our seats or as we stand here this morning or as you watch online, wherever you're engaging in this from, this is for you and this is for us. Paul writes this, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignuio. I don't know. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. And I make known to you, this is powerful actually, but I'm not going to focus on this verse, but it is a really powerful verse. I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are differences in activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. It is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Skipping down to verse 27. Now you and I, we are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. We're just going to end the reading there because that sort of highlights where we're going to go this morning as we begin this series. And I'll just highlight this. We've done out a booklet going through all of the spiritual gifts that we'll cover in the series. There's also room to make notes, and there's also some questions to work through in terms of ascertaining what have you got and doing that in community together. They are available at the back, Charlotte? Yeah. They're available at the back, and also if you want to have a downloadable copy for home, they're also available at the cfc.com/the hub, and you'll get them there. All the resources are in the hub. But if you leave one of these this morning, that would be brilliant. A lot of work has gone into that. And it's actually, I think it's pretty exceptional as a launch pad into the series, and that's probably because I wrote it. God is good and gives grace to the humble. We're gonna focus on three gifts this morning. Again, the gifts are, this is not an exhaustive list, and nor can we give each gift the full range of time that each gift deserves. So it's a balance of covering everything in enough detail, giving people the resource to work in your own time, and also as a connect group, but making sure that things are covered in enough detail that it makes sense, and also where the Spirit gets space to work. So we're going to look at the spiritual gift of service, of helps, and of administration. The gift of service, helps, and administration. What is the spiritual gift of service? In the Greek, it's diakonia. And lots of church traditions there would get this word diakonia, and that's where we would get deacon from. So it used to baffle me as a kid sitting in Collinsbrook Avenue Congregational Church when they would talk about the elders and deacons meetings. I was like, what is a deacon? Like, what are these people? Who are these people? These like mystical sort of figures of deacons and elders. A deacon just simply is a service, providing a service. And so we're going to begin looking at the spiritual gift of serving, the spiritual gift of service this morning. Many of these gifts have a generality. And as followers of Jesus, you could easily say, but are we not all called to service as followers of Jesus? Are we not all servants? Because didn't Jesus say, I've come to serve and not be served? And so do we not all have the gift of service? And I would say yes. Do we not all have to show mercy, the gift of mercy when we come to that? Absolutely. Do we not all have to be generous and hospitable? Is that not a gift as well? And is that not something that we all are invited into as followers of Jesus, the gift of hospitality and generosity? Absolutely. I would say that there are generalities to these gifts that as followers of Jesus, we would manifest in our lives anyway as followers of him because he did. But what I would say is that there are areas, and you heard Ryan refer to them, there are areas of discipline, and then there are areas of service, of joy. And I would say that as we follow Jesus, I don't find, you know, generosity and hospitality, our home, by the way, sorry, Gary, it's not a really open home. That's really not what we do. I don't really operate in that gift. I can do it, and when I do it, we enjoy it. But ours is a bit chaotic, actually, anyway, do you know what I mean? But for me, it's more of a discipline than a joy. And so when we are serving and we are operating in the gifts, if this is a gift for you, then it's a joy. It's something that brings you delight. In all of these things that we will look at over the next 3 months, there's a difference between a general manifestation of these things in our lives and a specific gift where you're just like, I am alive in this. Is that helpful, that differentiation? And if you have an issue with that, we want to chat through that with me, please. We can do so after. The one thing about the spiritual gift of service, it can be a little bit difficult to define and nail down. Primarily, as I've said, that Jesus in Matthew 28 says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. but also because the word diakonia seems to cover a range of different areas. Paul says, as I've just read, there's varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of diakonia, but the same Lord. So varieties of service, but the same Lord. But I think there's some elements of the gift of service that can be identified, can be drawn out from the generality, which are helpful for us and helpful for those who maybe have that gift and actually have never been able to name it and own it and flow in it. Service can be defined as this, an ability to operate that is beyond what is natural. That it is part of goes beyond just part of Christian witness or duty. It's often perceived as low status. Actually, I'm going to go for you again, Gary, sorry, but you're right there. I'm running around Victoria Park last Friday morning. And I see this guy with a thing on his face, hedge cutting. I'm like, he's not a council worker because he hasn't got his council working gear. He's just a guy who's cutting hedges. Why is he cutting hedges? I hear you ask. Why is he cutting? That's a really good question. The next day there would be the Northern Ireland Relay Championships where each team has runners and they do two laps of Victoria Park, they tag the next person and they go two rounds. And do you know what the guy who was cutting the hedges was doing? Making sure that people didn't cut their arms as they ran past. It goes beyond. And yes, he was the hedge cutter. And I'll say this as well, it actually goes beyond the church walls. And that helps us understand how the church impacts our community. And so the spiritual gift of service goes beyond and is often what is seen as low status acts. And I use that in inverted commas. And I'll explain why. To be very careful about that just in a moment. There's a recognizable aspect both within the person who has this and from those around the person that can identify an attitude and an approach that is Spirit-empowered when it comes to serving. And I want to say this, the gift of service involves sight. What I mean by that is this, it sees what needs to be done and is filled with joy at being able to do it. Seeing others is primarily the specificity of the gift of service. Seeing others. I have to confess, I don't have this gift. I'm not good at seeing. I don't notice things. That might not be a surprise to many of you. You know me. I'm a bit hurt at the lack of gasps of shock. Jesus shows us this in John chapter 13, this extraordinary story of the washing of the disciples' feet. You see, something needed done. There was this meal and there was this gathering, and what needed done was that the guests at this house had to have their feet washed, but it was not being done. Things had just happened and the meal was going on and things were just happening and things needed done, but nobody was seeing it, but Jesus saw it. And he takes the towel and he girds his waist, he removes his outer clothes and he does it. You see, something needed done that wasn't being done, Jesus saw. And it was done. And you're like, okay, again, that's Jesus. And yes, absolutely, that's Jesus. But when we come to Acts chapter 6 and we meet a guy called Stephen, we see the spiritual gift of service in real flow in the church as well, flowing through and to. There's a situation had arisen in Acts chapter 6. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So this was a group of people who had come to faith who were not of the Hebrew women, and there was issues going on because some people were being cared for and other people were being overlooked, again, not being seen. And the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples, and they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And I'm going to get back to unpack that, because that's really important, that we don't assume what's being said that's not being said. Therefore, brothers and sisters, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Again, let's not think that this is natural. This is a filling of the Spirit, which is bringing what is needed to these people, that the Spirit will work through this to others, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Again, the emphasis is constantly on the Spirit's filling and equipping to do this. And Philip was there, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. That's impartation of the gift to them. There's a recognition that something is going on when hands are laid on. There's a mystical, supernatural element to this that I can't explain. But something happens when hands are laid on, and the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. You see, in Acts chapter 6, we read here of the overlooking of the Hellenist community. The church was expanding and growing, and yet there was a need for people with different gifts, and this supports this so well. Stephen is the name associated here with this service, and I'm going to tie this into administration as we draw to a close here in about 5 minutes' time. But these are men who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they flow in the service gift. Now, is this gift of serving the food different to what you've heard these guys say? And they said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And there's a danger. There's a danger here where we prioritize those who do things from the front over those who do things at the back. And if we have ever done that, then I repent and apologize for that. We are not to be a church that celebrates the front without celebrating the back. We celebrate all. And what's really, really interesting about this is this, that the word for serving the word and serving the food on the tables is the same word. There is no hierarchy, and we do not believe in a hierarchy of gifts in this church. Both are held up with the beautiful gift of service. And actually, that makes complete sense, because you're really glad that I'm not in charge of feeding and distributing, that aspect of service. Maybe some of you are glad. I'm not particularly glad that you're serving the word either, but okay, that's okay. Right? But it's so important that those who have that spiritual gift in service and are able to see and overlook, that's what they do. It's not desirable that I do it. But actually, for the one who is filled with the Spirit and enabled and empowered to do that, that is very desirable that takes place. And it's interesting as well here that Stephen is named as someone who does great signs among the people. He operates in wisdom. Sorry, before I get there, did you notice as well the multiplication of the church came from both being done? The multiplication of the church came with both being done. When people were not overlooked, when people were seen, and needs were met, and those who had the gift of service to meet those needs are filled and empowered to do so. That's powerful. It's so powerful that it reaches all the way to the Emperor of Rome, who says, these Christians, they not only feed their own poor, but they feed ours. It has that level of power when the Spirit moves and the gifts of the Spirit are flowing through into. And so the multiplication of the church happens when both are done. And amazingly as well, we read about Stephen. He does great signs among the people. He operates in wisdom. You see, if you have a gift of service and it's compassion-led, it does not rule out other gifts.
This was a man who would operate in the gift of wisdom. This is a man who also would operate in the gift of miracles and of healings. This is a powerful man of God. We must be so careful not to pigeonhole people. Oh, that's their thing. And that's all that they can do. So amazing, such a privilege to work along amazing people in this church who have gifts of service and gifts of administration and also who are powerful in the prophetic. And powerful at a thing we call Theology Thursday. If you're in the office on a Thursday, you bring some theological beauty, and Theological Thursdays are brilliant. Where I get taught by the office admin. And I'm so glad of it. And service is also an excellent doorway as we operate in the gifts of service for people outside the church to see what the kingdom of God looks like. And often it's confronting injustice, like it was doing here with the widows who were not receiving their portion. And so service is always best done in community. When we come to helps is similar to service, but the word that is used to describe helps is different. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and it's antilepsis, and it's different than diakonia. So we can say that helps and service, again, there is an overlap, but there is a difference here, because generally, I would say, if I see somebody with the gifts of helps, there's an empathetic hurt that comes with the gift of helps. Where it's just like, oh, I can't not. Do you know what I mean? I can't not do something. And so if you're sitting here this morning, and perhaps you're the Holy Spirit is even now moving, and please, Holy Spirit, come and move even now. Reveal and release. And actually, I want to say this, like, affirm what is within you as something that is from God. Where you're sitting here this morning, you're the one that sees. I just want to affirm the Spirit's work within you. I'm not confining this to four walls of a church gathering on a Sunday, right? But if you're one who sees in your workplace, and you see in your family, and you see in your street, and you see in your neighborhood, and please have more sight to see, more flow of the Spirit to equip and release the gifting and its fullness within you. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I'm just hurting about that. I can't not do. I think there's something around the helps of that. Something around the gift of helps that has that hurt element. Does that make sense? Helps, hurt, there's an empathy that comes there. Before I move on to administration and close this morning, there's just a caution around this gift and indeed the others. And the caution is this, that when service and helps becomes our identity in and of themselves, and we forget that doing things for the Lord takes the place of the danger of not being with the Lord. Where we become so obsessed about what we are doing, and also what I've seen is frustration that others aren't. And there can be a righteous anger, but there also can be a danger, and that's that Mary Martha thing. Again, I don't have time to unpack that. But just that sense of that becomes our identity, and we forget that actually the Lord and being with Him is our identity and our source. Administration. I'm going to share a few things just anecdotally from someone who moves in this gift just in a moment. But I want to say this. This gift is like set up for us really way back in Proverbs chapter 11. And I think there's a misconception about administration because potentially maybe because of like roles in civil service or in education or in the health service, it's like, you know, your sort of AO or your AA sort of bonding and administration. And it's largely based with like perhaps spreadsheets and that type of thing. That's really not what the Bible means when it talks about administration. There's an element of that, but it's really not what it's talking about. Proverbs sets us up for this in chapter 11, verse 14. It says this, where there is no administration, people fall. Administration in the Septuagint there is the ability to guide. So administrations, and even when we read about the gift of administration, as Paul writes about in Corinthians, it's more about a he chooses to use a term of a nautical nature. The idea of somebody who would steer slightly a small rudder to direct something and guide where it would go. We see this gift also actually in the section that I wrote, that I read from in Acts chapter 6, where we want to feed, right? So here we are. Hopefully this will help. We want to make sure that this group is being fed and cared for. And then someone with the gift of administration goes, well, this is how you would do that. So I've no issue with like going, I want to be here, right? I want this to happen. So like, for example, I want to capture the story of the last 40, 50, 60 years of this church. You know, I want to do another three-part podcast. I want to have a video released for United. I want to have it done by then. It'll be great. We'll capture the story. We'll use this person. We'll use that person. This is what it's going to look like, right? That's my gifting, right? I'm operating in that. And then I have an amazing team around who go, well, actually, if you want to get to there, this is how then you would do that. This needs to be done, and that needs to be done, and this needs to be done. And then I sort of glaze over a bit. And so like, right, okay. Why don't you do that, right? And so there's an effortless ability, a joy that comes in the organization, the tilting of the rudder to help somebody get to where they go. And so we see that in evidence. I'd love to unpack it more in Acts chapter 6, but it's there as well. It is about system and it is about structure, but it just guides and helps. Ashley Beatty, who is on her way to Canada at the minute, is our, well, I call her our admin pastor. She calls me senior pastor. I call her admin pastor. It's a thing. She writes this. She says, my thinking behind the spiritual gift of administration is this. Tell me where you want to go, and I'll help you get there. It's a joy and delight when I listen to a vision being shared, and then I get to think about the plan and the route to get there. If Andrew has said there's a specific thing he wants to do next year, my head starts to run through all the things that are needed, potential problems along the way, what are things to avoid, and also handle a lot of the practical work. I don't cast vision, but I do serve it. And one of my biggest privileges is being able to exercise this gift for the benefit of our church family. Listen to this language. I feel fulfilled knowing my gift helps the body function. And knowing staff team and volunteers have support while they exercise their own spiritual gifts. I used to think, how sad am I? But actually, I realize it's vital work and every gift is as valuable as the next. Amen. We say amen. And as Paul was so cautious to write that, to make sure we don't slip into bad ways of prioritizing one over the other. I used to make light of the fact that administration, helps, and service were my gifts, but I felt very challenged by the Holy Spirit not to make light of the gift he had given me. Put it like this, right? How bad would it be when Gary Ray comes to my house and brings me a gift? And I make light of it. This, you think, this bottle of Beaujolais, I mean, what's, you know, is that a wine? Beaujolais? This bottle of Beaujolais, what's that? I'll set it up there, out of the way. It's a gift to be treasured and exercised, not laughed at all or belittled. Sharon Mawinney comes to me in February 2024. Says, Gibble, when do we want to have our Christmas meeting? You can imagine my response. Christmas? Just did Christmas. Yeah, but we need to be thinking about next year. What do you want to do? I don't even know what I want to have for lunch, never mind what I know to do for Christmas next year. You know? Well, actually, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do other things. She goes, okay, that's fine. Well, if you want to do all those things, then by this date, this needs to be done. By that date, that needs to be done. By this date to be done. And all of a sudden, I'm thankful for February meetings to plan Christmas. And what I've learned is that there's so much value in that. And there's so much value in that because of this. So it means that whenever I get to October and November and I start to put my plans in place, right, it actually doesn't cause other people real chaos and carnage and pressure. And actually it's so kind to allow others to operate and allow others' feedback into your life when they're flowing in their spiritual gift. Christmas is already sorted, by the way, we're sweet. The gift of administration and the gift of tilting and guiding and making ready, we can see a beautiful example even in Jesus who models this for us and allows others to work in this way as Jesus for the Last Supper, doesn't he? What does he do for the Last Supper? Makes preparations. Go and there's this guy who will give you that and there's that guy who will give you that and he actually charts out a way and he flows in this gift and shows us how to do it. When things need done, that's great. There's so many things along the way that need to be done. And you perhaps are sitting here this morning going, that's me. I love to do that. That lights my fire. You need to know you're filled with the Spirit to do that. You're equipped and empowered to do that. And we see the disciples have really captured this heart of Jesus in how the early church is organized and then grows and meets the needs not just of the people within, but of the people outside as well, expanding the kingdom through the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. I guess it's really important just as we close this morning. Paul writes this, he says, that you will come short in no gift, that you lack no gift. CFC East, you lack no gift. You lack no gift. As Jesus' body chosen and set in this location, in this area, that you will gather in and operate in your gifts, you lack nothing. There's no spiritual gift that is lacking in this house. Do you believe it? It's the same Holy Spirit that ascended upon Jesus, rested and led and empowered him. That same Holy Spirit that fills you. No spiritual gift is lacking in this house. And so really on a practical level, but also on a deeply spiritual level, would you stand with me? And I just love our ministry teams to come forward at this point. Prayer ministry team, if you want to come now, that would be brilliant. Band, you guys want to come? What's your last song? Sorry, Courtney, we haven't. A Thousand Hallelujahs. A Thousand Hallelujahs. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's do that. Just play it nice and soft. Is that okay? Just to. If you, we're gonna have some movement, right? Put your hands up in the air, everyone, just to show me you can move, right? Good, okay, right. We've got lots of movement. Online, you too. Mum and Dad, if you're watching. Dad's hurt his shoulder this week, so maybe don't do that, Dad. We're going to pray now for receiving these gifts. And we're also going to pray for something quite important, that if they are in you, but they have been dormant, or you have felt them downplayed or not awake or energized in your life, I'm going to pray for fresh life to come. So, we're not hyping this up. This way, it's going to be for 3 months, by the way. We're going to pray each week to receive these gifts, for you to eagerly pursue them, and for them to be operational and full Holy Spirit breath and life in our lives again. And so if you've sat this morning, you've gone, you know what, that spiritual gift of service and of helps is something that I would love, or that I think is in me, but I would love it to be fully released. Or just even that affirmation of the spiritual gift of helps and service and administration being in you, I'd ask you to move now and come for prayer. So body of Christ, as we pray for these spiritual gifts to be released, why don't you come now? Receive prayer, the impartation of these gifts through laying on of hands, and let these guys stand with you as the guys begin to play. So Holy Spirit, move in this room. No whistles, bells, hype, but just a sense of, I want what you have for me, Spirit, and I want to move in it, and I want to feel affirmed in the calling that you have on my life. And so for our gifts of Spirit, for the gifts from the Spirit of service and helps and administration, I want to pray over you this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I know it can take a lot to step out and come forward. But if you can't feel safety and please feel safe. Please feel it's not going to be weird. It's going to be done with compassion. It's going to be done with love. If we have all of these things, Paul reminds us as well, but we don't have love, then we're just a clanging cymbal. I want to release these gifts in this room so people are affirmed with them, know them. If you can't move for whatever reason, if you just even want to put up your hand, somebody will move to you and pray for you where you are. Okay, can we get there and pray there? Brilliant. Thank you so much. Anyone else has this gift and they don't want to move, but they'd love somebody to come and stand where they are and pray? We'll do that too. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to move into our last song this morning. Any stage you want to come for prayer, it's open. Next service is until 11:30, so we've loads of time. Lord, I thank you as we begin to re-engage with this area, to perhaps for some engage for the first time. We ask, Lord God, that your word, like we want to be so clear that your word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. And that for us, Lord God, to step in and to walk in all of the ways that you have for us. And for us to be the church that this island and nation and our city and our streets need. We need to be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered church. And we want to be that with your help and guidance. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.